Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Veebcast, the number one anime and manga show on the internet to this day. Yes, I'm back. It's your boy C-Dub, aka Mori, aka the Independent Variable, aka the Panera Boy, Panera Bread Boy. Hope you guys have been enjoying my episodes. I know we took a 1 week hiatus, which was a hiatus that I wasn't planning, but it was good to recuperate, get my energy back, and we're gonna come at it strong because today's episode is all on Psychopaths Season 1 with my boy Chowder. You'll meet him. And I think you're gonna really like his takes on Psychopaths Season 1. And we talk about how it's maybe one of the greatest sci-fi works in anime. But before we get into all that, and before you enjoy this episode, I want to tell you about today's sponsor, and that is presented to you by Skin Store. For over 20 years, the Skin Store has been the number one destination for premium skincare, hair care, and beauty products. With over 8,000 different products from 300 different brands, the Skin Store has you covered, Weebs, from cosmetics, hair, and supplements, and of course, skincare needs. So find your favorite brands like Elta MD, New Face, Olaplex, and so much more all in one place with gifts with each purchase. So right now, the Skin Store is offering our lovely Weebcast listeners 20% off your next purchase by using the code POD, and that's P-O-D for 20% off your next purchase at skinstore.com/pod.list. Skin Store, have the confidence to tackle the day ahead. Exclusions may apply. Now, get ready for that, hey yo, and get ready for a nice episode of Weebcast. See ya. Hey yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Weebcast, the number one anime and manga show, maybe number two and a half. I'm still trying to work out that out, and we're trying to move up the ranks just a little bit. But you guys, or Weebs, I should say, thank you so much for sharing and listening to some of the past episodes. It seems like you guys have enjoyed what you guys have been hearing, and today is no different. Great guest, great anime, great atmosphere. So it has to be at least above average episode. Real quick note, I should say, there are more projects coming along the way, more great anime. I got to talk about Jujutsu Kaisen. I'm going to get to that, guys. I promise. I'm going to get to One Piece, and I'm going to revisit a little bit of Bleach. Yes, I know. As much as I rag on about One Piece and Bleach, I talk about it way too much. But that's not what we're here for today, because I have a guest that I feel like we're going to connect. And I may be presumptuous on that. Everybody, I want you to meet my, hopefully, who becomes a good friend of mine, Chowder.
Hello.
Thank you for even agreeing. I don't know why you would even want to be on the show.
I love talking about stuff like this. It seems like you've got a good head on your shoulders, and you tend to dive a little bit more into analysis, and I really love that.
It's a curse and such a stupid skill.
But I do love stuff so much more. That's why I love it.
Well, I'm glad you love it, and I think we both, in the anime we're going to be talking about today, I feel like we both would rate it pretty highly. Is that fair to say?
I'd probably rate it as my favorite anime, just period.
Oh my god. See, this is what we got to work with, guys. When I bring on these guys, they love the shows they want to talk about, all right? You know, I mean, we could be negative, but I like to be positive here. I like to give Weebs a good name, and I think you would give Weebs a excellent name. But would you like to tell the audience a little bit about yourself, if you'd like?
Yeah, so I am Chowder. I upload on YouTube and Twitch every once in a while. I'm mostly focused on like more positively inclined analysis content on the internet. So I try and talk about stuff that I truly love and stuff that really connects with me. So I talk about my personal experiences. I want to dive into why something works and why something gives kind of an emotional reaction in the first place. And I want to eventually, over time, foster discussions on Twitch and hopefully at some point soon end up finally talking to some of these people who are involved in these games, because I mostly cover games.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. So I wanted to stay a little bit away from knowing too much about you, you know. I knew that you streamed and that you uploaded on Twitch and YouTube, and I was tiptoeing. I'm like, man, I really want to check out more of this, because I just took a little sneak peek, you know. I was interested, because I wanted to hear more about it from yourself, and I'm sure we'll sneak some of that throughout throughout this evening. But gaming in general, you said you'd like to analyze why things work into games, and I kind of resonate with that, because, and same thing with the visual medium of anime, and why people gravitate to certain things is also really interesting to me as well. We'll probably get to that when we talk a little about the show.
Anime is so cool, because that's really
the word that I love using is exaggerate. They know when to exaggerate moments, character beats, and speech and movement, to pretty much make any mundane kind of thing feel not mundane anymore and exciting. I think some of the best of that's like the JoJo Bizarre Adventures series. Have you seen any of that, actually?
I have not watched much JoJo. I've just seen fan art all over the place, and it looks incredible, and I can't wait to watch it. I'm stuck right now on Attack on Titan. I just got to a standstill. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Attack on Titan, you should take your time with that. Don't even worry about everything else. Shut everything else out in the world. Just throw yourself into the pit that is Attack on Titan. And for those who don't, when this comes out, it'll probably be about a week after the final chapter of Attack on Titan dropped. I will probably get to that at some point. But the anime is great. The voice acting. I've even dabbled in the dub of it a little bit. I've actually been dabbling in a lot of dubbed anime, which is a little uncharacteristic of me. But what are you listening to?
I'm curious. I'm watching the sub right now. I sometimes alternate between subs and dubs depending on how I'm feeling, especially for like Naruto. I'm so comfortable with Naruto's sub and dub that I just both of them feel like home to me.
The Naruto dub is. I don't want to assume, but I feel like most people when they first experienced Naruto was through the dub. Do you remember when you? So I'm assuming you've seen a good bit of Naruto.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
I didn't want to like throw some weird question at you, but I remember jumping into Naruto right at around the Chunin exams, because I wasn't there from the very very beginning. Well, I guess that's pretty early part one Naruto, but I wasn't there from the beginning when the dub used to come on Cartoon Network and on Toonami. But and I remember the fight, and it wasn't like the greatest fight in the Chunin exams, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it was the Shikamaru versus one of the Sound Ninja, the female, and I was like, this is a smart fight. Like, this is a lot smarter than what I've seen. Because, and I'll ask you this in a little bit, because one of my first animes was, you know, people just throwing fists, screaming, yelling, and power boosts that really don't make any sense. I'm interested in what was some of the first Naruto experiences you've had?
Oh my God, I remember this so clearly. I was in fourth grade, and I was having a sleepover with one of my friends. And we were hanging out. We were watching Cartoon Network. My friend was like, "Have you seen Toonami before?" I'm like, "No. What's Toonami?" And he turns it on, and I see Naruto for the first time, and my mind is blown, because this was fourth grade for me. Was a time where I desperately wanted to be like cool and edgy. And like,
Oh my God.
And I saw Naruto and it was like, oh, there's fighting. There's blood. What is this? This is crazy. Cause I wasn't allowed to watch like any of this stuff. I couldn't watch like rated R movies or anything.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
But Naruto like blew my mind. I was coming in, I think toward the end of actually when Naruto was airing the original series.
Okay. Awesome.
And then I watched every episode until probably halfway through the Great Ninja War, like every week.
That, oh my, that, what?
Yeah.
That's that, even I couldn't even do that. And I love me some Naruto, but that Ninja War was rough.
Oh yeah, it, I dropped it. Good. I dropped it after during Ninja War.
Yeah. I don't know where I kind of dropped it. To be honest, all of it's a blur right now. Yeah. Like, God, it was a blur. I mean, and the thing is, the war had its moments, I feel like.
Yeah.
But that's all it was. Because everything it's else exhausting. In between. It really is. Because I think, I remember I was reading the manga weekly, too. And I think that war took at least up to 3 to 4 years, I feel like.
Wow.
An incredibly amount of long time. Not as much as, like, the Bleach final arc, which took up like 6 years maybe of its publication, but it was up there. But I'm interested. I always do this with my guests. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's a little game I like to play. I don't know what kind of mental condition someone would diagnose me for doing this, but I like to guess at how old someone is or how seasoned they are.
I see.
By asking them, what was their favorite or their first anime experience? I'll break the ice. Oh. And my answer is either usually Detective Conan or Saint Seiya.
Okay.
It all kind of depends because it's kind of blurry. I just remember being amazed, like, you know, when watching Naruto, you know, mm-hmm. just like, this is different from SpongeBob or any other cartoon I was watching at the time. Little story time, and I'm sure people have already heard a little bit about this, but my uncle at the time gave me a videotape. He said he called it cartoons. He was like, you might like it, because he was cleaning out stuff. I popped it in, and it was Saint Seiya, had a rocker anthem, and guitars were blasting. People were throwing beams of energy from their fists. People were flying. People were screaming at me. But I kind of dug it, you know? I don't know, call me a masochist or something, but I dug it, you know? I wanted more of that. So that's me. Mm-hmm. But I'm more interested in yours, though.
So I probably would have to say, like, my first intro, I think the reason why I do have a penchant for any sort of anime style at all would have to be Jetix. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with Jetix? They aired a lot of...
No, I'm not, actually.
Oh, it was an older or early 2000s Disney block that they had, or a Disney Channel spinoff that focused mm-hmm. on like Power Rangers, reruns of 90s cartoons, mostly like action 90s cartoons and anime influenced stuff, like Oban Star Racers. If you've seen Oban Star Racers,
I have seen that I'm aware of. So, yes, now that's a cult.
Yeah,
that's
that aired on Jetix, so I watched that.
Wow.
And then Naruto was probably my big introduction. And then after that, I saw Code Geass and my whole world blew open. I was like, wait, these things can have like insane stories and they don't have to be action shows. What is this?
I'm so glad you brought that up because I think everyone I've ever talked to about anime has either watched an anime that's gotten into them and made them want to, you know, that put them into the door. Mm-hmm. And then there's that anime that you're like, oh, so animes can do this too. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, it was Death Note. So like, I think I watched Death Note first before I watched Code Geass, but Death Note was the anime that showed me like, oh, anime could be dark. It could be brooding. It could be psychological and, you know, analytical as well. But Code Geass is such a, it's, God, it's so good.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought up Code
Geass. Oh, man. I've been rewatching that because I never watched season two. This is a weird thing that I do. I still haven't seen Psycho Pass season two. I also haven't seen Code Geass season two. I just don't watch season twos ever.
And the thing is, like, it's not like anime has great track records in seasons,
yeah.
following seasons. You know, I'm looking at you, One Punch Man, season two. But that's not here or there. We've talked a little bit behind the scenes. And I know that we kind of talked about some of our interests with gaming. And one that really I thought was interesting, one that touched me near and dear, was writing. I want to give you some time and kind of let you talk about why writing is so dear to you.
So for me, my head is a swirling whirlpool of ideas and thoughts, and it's really difficult when you're not able to get them out. So for me, writing is essentially an outlet to kind of calm that whirlpool a little bit and just put my ideas on a page so I don't have to think about them anymore. And then maybe someone else will want to read them at some point. That's kind of what I'm doing.
It's crazy how creative people. There's always two sects or two, you know, different groups of people with in creative writing where, like, and I'm happy that we're in that in one of those groups where, like, once we like publish something, put something out there, I don't want to, like, I just turn it. I'll let them, you know, enjoy it if they do, and I just don't want to read it myself. You know, I just don't want to be a part of it anymore. I just want to move on to the next project. So I'm glad we kind of are in similar boats.
It's
there.
It's interesting. I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
So are you one of those people, because I'm very much this way, you know how there are some people who are like, oh, I love to draw, I love to write, making art's so fun. Are you the same way I am, where it's like, no, none of this is fun, I just have to do it?
I was going to say, I think at one point I may have been one of those, in the former group, where it's like, it's just for pure enjoyment and I just love everything about it. Now it's like excruciating in a sense.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Where it's like, yeah, it's like I critique myself in the midst of writing. I'm like, I'm not even finished. And I'm like, yeah, this is gonna be shit. Like, this, what am I doing here? Like, I should stop. Yep. And I end up finishing it that night or something. Like, I don't know why though. Like, you know, I'm not that. You know, I don't have too much experience in writing. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of quite, you know, I guess, yeah, I'll say I'm green to it at this point in my journey, especially with role playing. That's the type of writing I do, people. I don't know if I talked about it on the show or not. It's just a nerdy section of writers mm-hmm. that we like to pretend to be other people and then write stories with those people.
But, I think this is a really fun creative exercise. Like, I think that's super cool.
I'm glad you think so. You know, I think you might be in the minority, but I still appreciate you.
Ah, dude. Self-expression is valid, okay? I don't want to hear other people talking about, oh, you can't express yourself this way or that way because it's weird. No, come on. Just let people do what they want.
And it's applicable to anime mm-hmm. as well and some of the shows we watch, you know. And I think, you know, I don't want to put feelings, words into your mouth or feelings into your heart, but I feel like we would agree, like, be like, gatekeeping things mm-hmm. from other people, especially with anime, it's just not a good practice. Yep. So it's a little annoying. I don't want to use stronger words, but it's a little annoying. And I feel like, I don't know why it's with nerd culture.
Yeah.
It's nothing like that with anything else that I'm interested in. Like, I love sports, especially basketball. There's no basketball fan that's going to be like, oh, do you watch every game every night? You know, like, that's what anime people do. Like, oh, have you watched most of the season's anime? I'm like, no, not really. Yeah. I don't want to right mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how you feel.
Yeah, no. I'm the same way. Gatekeeping is frustrating because it actively hurts the thing that you love. It makes it, if a bunch of people are gatekeeping, it makes it so much less likely that thing's going to grow. And if you keep it open, you're going to meet more people who know what you're talking about, and you're able to communicate with them better. And that's ultimately what I think people should want, right?
Yeah, I would think so, yeah. Right? Like, okay, so gaming with you. I should ask, like, what kind of games do you actually stream?
I stream exclusively single player games with a little bit of Guild Wars 2 peppered in there. So mostly we'll focus on story based stuff.
Okay.
We just finished Grim Fandango and the original Nier. We're gonna move on. We're moving on to Final Fantasy VII and Fallout 1 super soon. So.
Okay. Well, definitely keep. I kind of want to stay updated on that because. Big fan of Final Fantasy. Big fan. Nier is a game that I've played a few times. I really want to play it on some of the harder difficulties, mm-hmm. though. I just haven't gotten around to do it, but...
Wait, Automata? Did you play Automata, or what were you playing?
Yeah. I guess it was Nier.
Okay. That was the one I don't recommend those higher difficulties. They're crap. Like, they're not fair, and they're not really? Fun. As someone who loves that genre, they're not good.
Because I really liked the game. I really enjoyed it. And I thought the story was so engaging. Mm-hmm. And I kind of want to, like, master some of the, you know, different weapons and some of the different strategies and stuff that I've seen
There's
online.
A lot to learn.
So much. Because I really enjoyed playing Uncharted. I played those games a bunch of times. Replayed them all. Especially, and the harder difficulties makes the game actually... a little bit more fun for me, especially the Uncharted series. So that's what I was hoping with Nier Automata. But I don't know. This warning kind of, you know, got me a little shaken in my my Captain America socks here. So I don't know.
Yeah, if you like Nier, I'd just recommend playing the other Platinum games. If you've played Metal Gear Rising: Revengeance or Bayonetta, I'd probably recommend those to really sink your teeth into combat like that.
Mm. I've actually never played the Bayonetta games. And I feel like people always... I mean, you're not the only one to recommend me the Bayonetta game. It's just that I just never get around to it. And they look so fun and look kind of like, you know, it doesn't take itself too seriously. At least that's what it looks like just for me on the outside looking in. And I kind of dig those type of games where cool mechanics, the story's kind of fun, and it doesn't take itself 100% seriously. So. Well, I feel like we could talk about games for a long time.
We could talk about it
forever,
yeah.
I feel like definitely you could, because I really like... I don't know how a relationship could foster, you know, maybe it could grow, but I think your voice works a lot with the single-player games. I want to hear you commentate on different things, you know? Has anyone told you that? What? Like, I want to hear you talk about
games. Oh, wow.
Can I get caught? Yeah. I'm being serious. I remember we were talking off air, and you said you streamed, and I was like, I could watch videos of him just talking about different game, like things in the games that he enjoys and things of that nature. Has anyone said that to you?
Not like that. The way that you structure your words and some of the words you use are very like open and expressive, and I really love it. And I very much appreciate that.
I speak from the heart, you know. And look, I mean what I say, and I say what I mean.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I shoot from the hip sometimes, and that's just what I'm. You know, I feel like that's the kind of content I want to see. You know. Mm-hmm. But I think it's time to sink our teeth into arguably one of my favorite sci-fi anime shows.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about Code Geass, and I think that's deservedly up there as well. But Psycho-Pass season 1, 22 episodes, I believe, right? Was it around 22?
What did you watch?
Some episodes?
What version?
So I actually have the Blu-ray of Psycho-Pass, and I just popped them in and rewatched all through them. I just kind of went through some of the episodes that I remember really, really liking. Which revolves around Kogami, you know, anything with him. I dig a lot. So I guess I should say, do you want to start with a little background of the show?
Ooh,
would you like to do that?
Let's see. So for a little bit of background, Blade Runner. I don't know if you've seen Blade Runner, but Blade Runner 2049
is probably
up there in like my top three favorite movies of all time. I've really tried to sink my teeth into cyberpunk as a genre in general, and it really pulls me in. That's why I decided to revisit Psycho-Pass after not seeing it since it finished airing a while back.
Yeah, I was going to say it was 2012-ish. That was the fall.
So I watched the extended editions, the 40-minute episodes, 12 episodes, yes. I think. Really excellent way to watch that show. It's so immersive.
You're not the only one that says that, too. I feel like when I was kind of asking some of my friends, I might be talking about psychopaths soon on the show, and they were like, and they brought up the same thing, like the structure of the extended version kind of just flows a lot better with the themes and the mm-hmm. motifs of the show.
100% agree.
So I'm going to be totally honest with you. I had written something up. I had like, you know what? I could make a really cool joke. You know, I could still do it, you know, but he could play along with it. But I had it all written out too. I was going to set the scene of the show, you know, talk about artificial constructs, you know, a system that they have that, you know, analyzes mm-hmm. and evaluates every individual, you know, mental, emotional states, aptitudes, career decisions, you know, the life is more or less determined, you know, by that system, you know, applying to civilians, criminals. What's the term? Latent criminals? I think that was the term. Yeah, yeah. You know, and being judged by this law enforcement. And it sounded creepy. And I was like, man, I can't believe Minority Report has an end.
Yeah.
And yeah. And like, man, wait, okay. And that was the joke. And I was going to talk about who's the actor in Minority Report?
It's short guy, Mission Impossible.
Short guy,
Mission Impossible. Tom Cruise. That's the man.
Was that Tom Cruise? Yeah, guys. I know the demographics of the show. I know some there's like 18 year olds, and I'm just like, you may not know about the movie Minority Report. Just give it a watch. It's a little weird. It's a little cheesy, but it's really fun. I think it's a fun movie, and Tom Cruise doesn't have a lot of this, so give it a chance. That was gonna be my psychopath kind of bit, right? Is that okay? Was that out of 10?
Okay, be honest. Let's see.
A 6?
I'd give it, you know, if you workshopped it, you could get up to like a 7.5. I think as we stand right now, we're kind of like a 5.5, but we could boost that up. We could boost that up with more points with some workshopping, you know?
Okay.
Work on your sets, you know, regroup tomorrow, new group, fresh faces.
I think, fresh faces, you know, edit some lines here and there. We'll work on that, guys. Don't worry. And then don't worry. There's going to be a lot of stuff on the cutting room floor with that one. But in all honesty, though, I think it's a pretty cool connection. It's such a popular theme in just sci-fi in general, in movies, TV shows. And I think it really worked well in this show. And I think, what was it called? What was the name?
The Civil System. Yeah.
I'm actually kind of blanking on it. Civil System. Thank you. And there was another term. There was another word that always, artifact or object that kind of defines the show, or was the the Dominator.
Yes.
Was that the name of the weapon they use? What do you think about that? Like, I have some thoughts on it. I'm sure you do too, but it's an incredible like anime item that I feel like is
underappreciated. The Dominator. Let's see. What can we say about the Dominator? I love the fact that it transforms when it's into the kill mode, into the eliminator mode. It transforms into this horrifying spiky blue mass of just disgusting metal, tangled metal everywhere. It's an incredible way to just express kind of the brutality of the system that exists there.
Yes.
The fact that they explode when they're killed, they feel immense pain when they're killed. It's not instant.
No. There's no way that thing kills on just impact alone. They are struggling until in their bitter final moments as a criminal. And for me, I feel like this, people in high school, they always like to bring up that thing where they, you know, actually, I think we watched Minority Report in my high school. Now that I think about it, that was, what a bad time. High school side. And all,
let's not go to high school. We're good.
Let's not go there. Yeah, let's not go to high school. But like, it, the obvious thought-provoking questions, you know, the usual ones I always go to is like, you know, would they haven't committed the act yet, so is it fair to judge them? That kind of thing. As cliche as people as to ask that and think about it, I do think it's actually a pretty good question, and I think it's in this anime, I think it's kind of well done or done better in this medium than I've seen in other shows, typically in American movies and shows.
I agree. I'm curious, in Minority Report, what happens to the people who haven't done a crime yet? Are they arrested? Are they...
If I remember correctly, they are, like, they have this system where in their police office or whatever, this guy's controlling this weird machine of sorts, and it's just checking people, I guess, through telepathy of some sort. And if people have the thoughts of wanting to do a crime, like real thought, not like just a whimsical thought, but like, oh, I will rob this bank at some point, they'll just go and arrest them for, and yeah, if
so
I remember correctly.
That's where I think Psychopass does this nuance a lot, does this idea a lot better and in a lot more nuanced of a way. So probably my favorite part about Psychopass is if you were like a philosophy major or a poli sci major or something like that, I bet you could make a very coherent argument for why the Sybil system is a good thing.
Talk more about that. For me, I actually think I actually liked it. I know they were trying to play it up as like this kind of sinister thing, and they tried to demonize it a little bit, at least in my... I was like, this seems pretty like a not flawless, but...
Yeah, so I think one of the things is that it explores this in so many different ways. I'll have to find a way to start this. So when a latent criminal exists, they are not arrested. They're sent to rehabilitation facilities until they get better.
Yes.
But I'll save that for spoilers. I'll save that for spoilers for later.
We'll get to that.
But here's the thing about it is that you look at toward the earlier episodes with Yayoi, I think that's her name. Yeah.
I think that's her name, yeah.
She's in a band, and in order to make this art, sometimes you have to go to a really dark place in your psyche, and that hurts your crime coefficient. And not everyone's technique for doing the things they want to do will necessarily work the best for them. And just because society says, okay, this is the wrong way to do it, does that mean that it's the wrong way to go? It essentially, the idea of the Sybil system is that it implements objectivity into our daily lives. It has an objective best food to eat, an objective best job to get, an objective best way of taking care of your mental health. And although maybe that might be true, I'd honestly argue that there's sort of an X factor that they're missing out. I think Kogami says this in the series. He talks about like the hunt, this idea of hunting for your purpose, chasing it, and getting knocked down and having life kind of wear you down over time is part of the beauty of life itself. And when you take that away, I think you lose something.
But yeah, he definitely had a way with words for as gruff looking as he, you know, dressed and looked, his cold stare. He was a little poet, you know, and I dig that. I dig guys like that, you know, call me cliche. You sweet talk, man. For real.
It's so cool having like a super muscular, strong character that's also very intelligent and well read and has done his homework and has done his research, and it's super cool.
Because he could have been a much more streamlined, generic character in this show. And I'm glad it did not turn out that way. Same thing for the main character as well, Akane. Like, it's she could have been this. I mean, the thing is, I had my doubts like early on while watching him in the early episodes. I was a little fearful of having those main characters where they're just kind of stagnant, and really the supporting cast kind of just, you know, is really doing all the work. But it's not like that at all. She's actually
she grows, she transforms,
determined.
Her one of my favorite things about the protagonist in this show is that throughout the entire show, she's pushed to her limits. She's forced to make difficult decisions where she doesn't know the right answer. Her entire frame of reference, all of her values are challenged through this entire story.
And I like that because it did feel like her point of view was supposed to be the audience's point of view as well. Like, as she's seeing this world interact around her, and it kind of felt like we were kind of be put in her shoes and like, and kind of, you know, like you said, make choices in our heads before she does. Like, man, if I was there, what, you know, would I pull the trigger or something like that? Or do I just stand and watch this? And I really enjoyed that. And I think one of the strengths, you kind of touched on it as well, because Psycho-Paz excels on like a lot of fronts, I feel like. And I think one of the strengths of it is the main cast, you know, because I love dual protagonists. I mean, what do you think about that? Do you think this show counts as a show with a dual protagonist?
I'd say so. I love shows. I'd say like so, especially because both of these characters are Kogami and Tsunamori, like, incredible foils for each other. I have something written down for later talking about that specifically, but it's gonna be a little later. It's gonna be a little later.
Please. I can't wait.
But I think they're perfect foils for each other. And I'd say it's a dual protagonist system for how much Kogami gets followed for this story.
Yeah, because I love shows like that. I think it's a little bit bolder. And I think I've even talked about it in an early episode. I feel like Shonen Jump. For those who don't know what Shonen Jump is, it's a Japanese publication. Shueisha publishes a lot of manga books of different types, but Shonen Jump, being probably the most popular one, have recently, at least I've seen, have trended towards putting stories that have just not having a singular main character that you could just point out and be like, oh, obviously, that's the main character, right? And I think some examples of this, I feel like, were Haikyuu.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Haikyuu, the volleyball series, where Hinata and Kageyama were like Hinata was obviously supposed to be the protagonist, but I think Kageyama was a strong character, and you could say he was kind of the main character. A lot of things, he develops a lot as well. My Hero Academia I was hoping it would move towards that with Deku and Bakugo. And those are just a few of examples. But with the cast in Psycho-Paz, even the supporting characters, I feel like were decently strong characters. Like, especially, was it Genosa?
Yes. Yes.
And Masaoka, I feel like, stood out the most as side character-wise. Which one was your favorite? Like, what? I should have asked. Which one was one of your favorite characters?
Okay. It's kind of tough because there's a lot to like. Upon rewatch of this show, I've actually found that I really connected with Genosa and Yayoi. Those were the two characters that I really connected with a lot. I love Yayoi's like drive, and I love the fact that she's so conflicted about everything, and she was a character that sort of tries to find the joy in the little things despite the fact that everything was taken away from her. And I found that to be a very relatable idea, especially as I've spent more time on planet Earth and dealt with more difficult things. it's also interesting to see Genosa as like
That's a good pick. I like that.
Like, stick up his ass, like, character.
Yeah. I always kind of tend to gravitate to those characters in these shows. I like the gruff just takes no bullshit kind of thing. I guess in comedy or anything, the straight man is one of my usually favorite characters, you know, because things, they just reflect things, and they could somehow are still sometimes could be funny, you know, when they need to be. If they need to be badass, they can pull that off as well. So those are some of the characters I kind of really gravitate.
Have you noticed that Masaoka has like very dog-like features? It was something that I noticed. He almost has like the face shape of like a bloodhound. I don't know how else to say it, and it makes him look really gruff.
That's kind of funny, to be honest.
This is like broad face. He has like this really square nose. Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Like, it's almost snout like. Yeah. That is really odd. That is really odd.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's a dog. He's a dog. That's a dog.
And it makes more sense since they refer to them as hunting dogs throughout the entire series. Like, that's what they do.
Which is I've always liked, the hunting dog kind of theme, where, like, it kind of, I feel like the show kind of, it has a lot of themes, and I'm sure we could talk about that as well. But, like, I like how they drive home. They're, like, you know, kind of, it takes one to know one kind of approach. And I love that. I wish more shows would do that. Like, look, if you want to get some of these guys, it's going to take one of those gritty guys who could, you know, if they got to get their hands dirty, then they'll do it. And I love how they explored that as well. I think in the crime, just the idea of this centering around crime in this world, it's kind of interesting to think about as well. I didn't know what you thought about on the shows. You know, what was the show trying to say about crime?
It was very weird watching this show, in 2021, especially the tail end of it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Thank you. Yes, I didn't want to make it obvious, but I wanted to
It's interesting because this is actually kind of a critique that I do have of the show. It seems to divide crime and criminals into two categories, which I'm not super cool with. But maybe if you looked into it a little bit deeper, maybe this would kind of resolve itself. It seems like there are two types of people that end up committing crimes in this show. There are people with valid reasons, and then people who are like animals who commit crime for the sake of committing crime, which I'm not sure how common that is outside of a fictional context.
Exactly. I'm glad you said it, because it was, I'm not saying it was a weak kind of stance, but I mean, and it's, you know, and I think when it comes into this territory where, like, when you analyze an anime so closely, these are some of the things that kind of percolate to the top, and you're like, well, it's just a show, but at the same time, it's in the show for a reason, you know what I mean? I never liked that argument of, you know, of like, oh, you're looking too closely at it. Like, well, they chose. These people chose creatively to say these things, to show us these things. So it must be something.
A show like this,
I mean,
that like begs you, it practically begs you to dig deep into this. It's why I love this show so much.
It's honestly one of its strengths. Yeah, it does force you to think and make decisions, or like I said, you want to put yourselves in some of these characters.
Honestly, it seems like crime and law enforcement itself doesn't seem to be necessarily the focus of the show. Because I think every piece of media does have blind spots, right? And I think this show's blind spot may have aged particularly poorly, but that's okay. It happens.
You know, I was gonna say, I wish we would have talked.
Yeah,
maybe, I don't know, 2019. You know, something like, you know, just to say, but but I think I should have looked. I should have had this prepared, because I think the writer of this series, he's much more prepared than I am. And I think some of his other works are similar in this kind of in tone. Like, he likes to be a little bit provocative, secretly. It's like, it's not in your face all the time.
Yeah.
But he knows how to stir thoughts. And that's, and I'm not completely familiar with his other work. I just things from what I've, when I've asked other people.
Have you watched Madoka? Madoka Magica?
What they thought.
Yeah, like, same writer. Same writer.
Yes. Yes. Okay, so.
Yeah.
That's what I've, okay, so I'm glad, yeah, thank you for reminding me. I've seen only the original work of Madoka Magica.
Yeah.
That long name. Yeah. Wait, so look, I can't say everything, all right? So cut me some slack. But
yeah,
I really love that show. It's honestly one of my favorites, and I implore people who have seen characters of it and are unsure of what happens. Trust me, it's give it one episode, and you'll like it. But yeah, the gritty stuff of. Just watching something so as dark as this, though I thought Psychopath is, I love the grittiness and it has its blood, has its little bit gore, but it's dark in a sense of its thoughts and the things it forces you to think about. Other than Madoka, it's more visual as well. But don't get me wrong, Madoka has it made me think some dark.
I found myself leaving Psychopath with a lot of hope. Personally, during my rewatch of Psychopath a couple months back, I was like finding myself kind of lost in life. I really didn't know where I was gonna go. I didn't know what I was gonna do. COVID threw a wrench in my plans completely. I was set back, I think, almost two years. I think like my plan is 2 years pushed back.
And you would not be alone.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
And I felt like a failure and I felt really lost. And when I really connected with what Kogami says throughout this entire show about the hunt, about the chase, it makes me hopeful knowing that I'm not necessarily doing it wrong. You know, I'm not living my life wrong because I'm struggling to find what I want to do, or I'm having crises about where I want to be in the future. Maybe not understand like what type of people I mesh with, what friends I want. All of these things are very human and very normal and okay. Yeah, exactly. And like Psychopath hammers that home.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that to be really relevant at the time that I was watching that.
What a wordsmith. I didn't think we would. I mean, look, it's a hard hitting show, but I was not expecting it to connect. And I love doing that with shows. Because it's entertaining, but at the same time, to draw things from your personal life, from the outside world, is important to contextualize these shows. And not only enhances the experience, I think, you know. So I'm really glad you shared that. And I'm sure a lot of people appreciate you for sharing that, because it's a lot of people in that boat, unfortunately. And to speak on about that, you found that there was a little hope at the end, that you could see the glimmer, and to validate some of the things that you were feeling. To be honest, if this was the end of the conversation, that'd be a great way. Like, there's no way I could do it better than that. And it's like, why don't you have a podcast?
Whoa! What the hell are you doing?
What are you doing? I'm serious. I don't understand it. I'm gonna keep saying that. I'm just gonna sneak in compliments and just hope by the end of it that you but. Before we kind of get into some of the nitty gritty and kind of enter the spoiler territory of the show, to me, I've always liked to think about, I like the contextualization, all right? It's important to me into understanding shows and perception of other things. And one of the ways I like to do that mm-hmm. is time and place. So good welcome, boys and girls. Welcome to the part of the show where I talk about psychopaths and that it came out in 2012, right? We got that down. Fall of 2012. And there was a lot of shows. I don't know if you realize how many shows it was competing with when it came out fall of 2012. And let me just list a few. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, the first season came out in 2012, that same season. exactly.
What?
Chunibyo came out. Magi, The Labyrinth of Magic, came out that same. Batum, K-Project, To Love You, or To Love You Darkness, Little Busters, Bakuman, the third season, the manga, not the manga, the anime about two kids who create a manga, Gintama, there was a Gintama season that year, Madoka Box, oh man, I should have wrote down more, Initial D, the fifth stage,
SAO was 2012? What?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was a big. Yes. That was a big. Yeah, yeah, I was taking up a lot of real estate at that point.
And those were just new animes that came out. There were shows still ongoing. Hunter x Hunter, the 2011 reboot. Sword Art Online.
It was its first season.
Okay. Fairy Tail was going on. Kingdom, Toriko, Eureka 7 as well. I mean, Inuma's that soccer anime, Inazuma 11. Like, there was a lot in 2012. And not to mention, I think 2012 was that?
Attack on Titan, I think it was 2013 or 2014.
Is that Attack on Titan first season as well? 2013. Okay, so. Okay, good. Because I was going to say.
If that was in the lineup. It was just so competitive.
Okay.
It's crazy because I feel like Psychopass has it's been here to stay. It seems like slowly it's been growing and it has had such a long tail to it.
Thank you. Because I think out of all the great, there's some like great shows. And I remember watching some of these shows. I would probably say Psychopass was, you know, storytelling wise, mm-hmm. I mean the better one. Like, I mean, JoJo's still going on. You know, that's not going away. People love JoJo. Magi,
it's a show.
Say what you want. It got some popularity. It's there. It exists. You know, K-Project. I love K-Project. I probably give it too much credit, but even then, I wouldn't put it above probably Psychopass. Girls in Panzer too. I think I watched that in 2012. What was I doing with my life? First year of college was a very unique year for C-Dub, boys and girls. Initial D, I'm a real big fan of racing. I actually kind of like racing. So, but even then, that was probably maybe the closest thing in terms of critically acclaimed for me, at least. I would put it just right under Psychopass. But you're right. Psychopass is here to stay.
And does it only have two seasons?
Two seasons. Yeah, they only animated two seasons.
I think there are three seasons from what I've seen.
To my knowledge, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is there a third season?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, well then I have work to do, apparently.
2019. October 2019.
I have work to do then. Jesus.
Eight episodes aired. Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, I kind of fell off of watching stuff, I think, around 2019. I don't know why. Then again, 2020 happened, and I found myself watching a lot of shit. So, but, yeah, you're right, though. Psychopaths, I guess maybe with the help of that third season, it kept it relevant.
It's interesting because I think, ultimately, quality of something may not affect initial sales, but quality of something affects the tail that it has. So like Blade Runner 2049 bombed in the box office, lost a ton of money. But like, there is a reason why you still see Blade Runner memes going around every once in a while, and it's slowly getting more popular. That movie has a tail.
Now, and that's a good way of putting it. I've never actually, that's a good term for it. The phenomenon, I've always tried to understand the phenomenon, but I like that, the term for it. And remind me, because I've never actually seen it. I know that it's one of those movies that, like you said, you can't determine its worth by its sales. But I have a friend of mine on Twitter. Shout out to you, Jack, if you listen to the show, who absolutely loves that movie. And I'm sorry, Jack, I still have not watched it yet, but I will eventually.
Ryan Gosling.
Who's the lead in that? Is it?
He's great.
Ryan Gosling. I heard he's amazing in that. And I've seen him in other things.
Great actor.
And he's,
great actor.
He's an incredible talent. Like, goddamn. Yeah. And the aesthetic in that movie. I love the neon. I'm a big fan of the like neon lights and how
it's rusted and it's gross with the light for and things a lot like of that, that movie. It contrasts super well. It's actually something that Psycho Pass does too, surprisingly.
That's what we call in the business a wraparound and a call.
But like, so in Psycho Pass, you'll see what's it called?
Yes.
Toward the first episode, you see like the little like slum area that they go into. It's all brown, orange, rusted, gross, full of trash. Next place they go right after that is the big ministry building right in the center of the city. And it is blue and pristine with a lot of whites and like fluorescent lights. And it's a really incredible contrast to see the way that some people are living versus how people within the inner circle of Sybil are living.
That's, you're right. I haven't actually kind of seen that. I didn't really, even after rewatching some of the episodes, I never really noticed that. But to do that thematically, and also with his background and colors, why is that not getting more attention and respect for that? Like, those are techniques that you would see in, in American TV shows and, you know, international movies and films of that nature. Not in like an anime from 2012.
It's unfortunate. If you are anything short of a like Parasite or Burning or any of these really high profile, symbolically rich films, you don't get a lot of people analyzing and discussing what is within these films or shows or anything. Because ultimately, when you're publishing something online, I think this is what happens is that you'll publish something online and it has to be about something popular that everyone's seen. If you're talking about spoilers, because people haven't seen it, they may never watch it, but they'll be like, oh, I can't click on this because this has spoilers. Maybe I'll watch it someday. And then they never do. And then they never click on the video. And then it never spreads. It's just... So it's sad, unfortunately a byproduct of the way that just the internet and popularity works. It's sad, but that's just kind of how it is. But yeah.
I think that's a good segue because I feel like we keep dancing around it. Do you want to take that dive?
Yeah, let's do it.
And kind of get into the nitty gritty of it a little bit. I think it's time. Yeah, I think we want to do it. I kind of want to start with, because I was kind of debating this. I didn't know if we should start with kind of going with maybe some of our favorite moments, specific moments or instances in the show, or even just our favorite episodes. that we thought was kind of captures the sense and essence of Psycho Pass. And I wanted to know if you had anything that you wanted to say
that really stuck with me was where Yayoi gets like taken in for rehabilitative therapy, and throughout like this entire time, she, while she's being detained, she's trying to get pieces to be able to like play her guitar, and it never works. She's stuck, and she's not able to play her guitar for the entire time, and it breaks her. You can see her just like lose hope throughout this entire thing, and it captures like the essence, I think, of the show so well. And it's one of my favorite moments. It's one of my favorite moments.
I'm so glad you brought that. I don't know. I've struggled with this a little bit. I have a feeling one of my moments, and they're kind of scattered because most of my favorite moments got to deal with Ginoza, to be honest. Like, I love his more kind of limited vision that criminals are just criminals because, you know, Sybil says so. And it just doesn't care how, you know, came to be or why.
Yeah.
Because it would be like, in his eyes, it's just a waste of time, or it would risk numbing his sense of duty, you know? And I like how it prevents him from having like a peaceful relationship with his father, I believe, right? And, you know, kind of considers him like really all the other criminals, and can't really get past that wall of forgiveness. And I think even deciding to like raise his coefficient, even if it meant abandoning him and his mom. So I know something about that I feel like really resonated.
Full disclosure, spoilers, we're doing it. Okay. I think it is excellent symbolism that right when his crime coefficient goes over the edge, when he loses his father, Ginoza loses his, I think, right arm or left arm? One of the two. He loses one of his arms, mirroring his father, who also does not have an arm. That is a wonderful piece of visual storytelling and symbolism, and I love it so, so much. It's...
It's so, so good, because that's actually... It's a pretty sophisticated... It's a small thing, but it's a really sophisticated technique. And it's not like it's, you know, it's not in your face like, oh, look what we did here. You know, you see it? It's subtle. You pick up on it. I like things like that where a lot of people can pick up on it and come to that realization at some point in time. I don't know, that moment, because we see moments like that. I love when it's the clash of thoughts, you know? You know, we have Ginoza, who's like the typical representative of the company. And we have Akane, who's like, who goes against the trend, you know?
Yeah.
It's a fight that doesn't last too long, but we can see little by little how, you know, Ginoza starts to think with his head influenced by Akane a little bit more. And which kind of brings him to a breaking point. Yeah, and I think eventually
he gets devoted to an enforcer by the end.
Or something like that. But, but he has no regrets, which is the thing, right? That's what, at least the feeling that I got. I should have wrote that quote down, because he has a really good quote. I might actually have it somewhere, but something like, "You don't see many apologizing to an executor." Yeah, that one. I do have it. Oh, guys, please give me a second. I quote, "I have been for a long time now, and the absolute obedient behavior of hunting dogs has now taken root in my hands. I never tried to think about what I was doing. Being a detective does not mean killing people, but protecting them. You have to put justice before your duty. With a boss like you, I can stop being a simple dog." Please preach. I love this so much.
Have you seen? No, I'm curious. Have you seen season two?
I'm sorry. Did you want to?
Okay.
Hi, welcome. You reached the end of the episode, and if you're listening to this, then I'm super proud of you. Give you a pat on the back. I hope you enjoyed our conversation, my conversation with Chowder, and on Psychopath Season 1. And this is just the first part, because I have part 2 coming up next week live. So I hope you guys will listen to that next week's episode, so as we finish up our discussion on Psychopath Season 1. If you have any comments you'd like to talk, that you'd like to leave for myself and Chowder, make sure you do that on my social medias, on Twitter, at BaseSenpai. You can also do that on Weebcast TV on Instagram. And also, of course, you can do it, send directly to my email at clw19@mail.com. All of those forms are lovely. Or if you see me hanging out on Reddit, because I post Reddit on a lot, it's probably too much, make sure to just drop a comment on there when I post the episode as well. There's a lot of ways to interact the show, and I love when you guys interact with the show. Makes me feel special, makes my guests feel special, and you know, and I'll reward you with shout outs and all that good stuff as well. Also, if you want to do even more and do that extra step in supporting the show, make sure that you support the show on Patreon at patreon.com/weebcastshow. There we have different tiers where you can get episodes from early, you get to do Q&A's, suggest topics, be a guest on the show, co-host on the show, and all that good stuff. So make sure you guys check that out. Like I said, that link will be in the description as well. And also, if you want to support just directly with a donation, and not through Patreon, you can also do it through Anchor, and that's also at the very bottom of the show notes of this episode and every other episode that I produce, and that is also a very good option if you wish. But a lot of things in the future. Like I said, next week we'll have the second part of the Psychopath Season 1 kind of deep dive. And then after that, I think we're going to get back into a few more solo episodes of myself. I kind of want to review and kind of talk about the ending of Attack on Titan, because I know a lot of people maybe wanting to hear some of my thoughts on the ending. And I kind of want to give it some time, let the ending breathe for everybody before I jump into it and tackle it. So that's why I've been kind of holding off. But like I said, suggest topics in the comments if you'd like. Let me know how you think of the show. And the most important thing, which is important for a lot of podcasts, and especially when they're just starting out, make sure that you leave a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts. If you're listening there, leave a review, leave a star rating, which is very important for a lot of small podcasts to getting a lot of traction, and you know, I'll love you for it so very much. But let me not be too long-winded. Thank you for allowing my voice and Chowder's voice into your ears, into your homes. I hope you guys have a lovely weekend, and make sure you guys stay golden. I'm Nadi 3000. See ya.